Okay, here we are again. I want to talk a little bit about what's going to happen tomorrow, just to remind you before we break up this afternoon and I forget. But you've got, of course, the afternoon free when we're done today, and tomorrow morning is free. And then we're going to meet out at the lake at 1 o'clock, so those of you who don't know how to get out there, we'll get you the address, and it's real easily. It works real well on the GPS if you have them, or we'll give you directions. But we're really excited to have Dr. Kay Fairchild with us. Some of you know her, and she's agreed to finish out the meetings tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock for us, so I'm excited about that. And it's going to be warm, so bring your bikinis. G-strings, Gary and I have a G-string on. Yeah, I have a lime green Borat one that's a full body one, you know. So, yeah. I'll have the guys bring a fan out there, but it's a beautiful setting, so I hope it's not too warm. It says it's supposed to be 88, so... But we'll be under a tent, and we'll have some breeze, and there's usually always a wind out there, so it's usually cooler. It's usually always 4 or 5 degrees cooler at the lake than it is here, so it'll probably be okay. So I think we'll still go out, just so we can enjoy that. And Kay will be sitting at a table, and the lake will be behind her. Ooh, yeah. Yeah, and you'll get to see the lake. And
she's going to project her powerful voice, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Do any of you watch What's America's Got Talent?
Yeah.
Did you see that bodybuilder that come out and had the robe on and sang opera, and then took her robe off and had her bikini on and was posing? I mean, she looked good. She really did look good. Oh yeah, she wasn't like a super body. She wasn't like greased up, but. The boys liked it anyway. So,
keep your voice up,
honey. Huh?
Keep your voice up. Keep
up, up.
Yeah, we gotta stay.
Okay, look up.
Yeah.
Get your face.
Nice and loud.
I'm gonna talk about getting your nose off the dirt today, so that will help. Right? You gotta look up, look out.
Preach to the garage.
Yeah. Okay, so. I don't really want to do a summation because I've sort of asked Kay to do a little bit of that, so I hope she'll do. I love hearing what I share in someone else's tongue. I love that because a lot of times it comes across in a different way. And why is that good? Because everybody has a different set of barnacles on their ship, you know, and... Some you might have said and heard the same thing. Jan was talking about it. You might have said and heard the same thing, but Jerry explained it to us. A belief doesn't become something we know until we experience it, and that experience is something that flows through you. It doesn't have to just be something outer. Sometimes that happens, you know. I mean, I learned a lot in the generator thing. I really did. I was taught that way, but it's a little more painful. Sometimes it's nice if you just hear it, right? And you feel it flowing up from inside you. So I'm not going to really talk about the other lessons too much, but this last lesson, of course, in the series is the consciousness of separation. And not just so much how we... It doesn't mean how do you come out of it. It's knowing what it is. What is a consciousness of separation? It's really been a good theme. That's really what we've been talking about. What is it that separates you from your reward? And probably the bigger picture of what separates us from our reward is our worldview. Mm-hmm. But what you see in your world, you own. You possess it. And it's your world. It's yours, right? It's your world. And it's really your judgment of the world. It's a byproduct of your judgment of the appearances. Do you see things that seem to need to be changed? Do you see the world as yourself sees the world in righteousness and loving kindness? That's where the friction's at, right there. See, really, who you think you are is your enemy. Who you really are has none. And so if you see something contrary to yourself, that's where the friction is, see? The friction's within you. And so when something, and so we'll hear this message, and the ego wants to correct others with it, right? Somebody did something to you, and, you know, they're not listening to it. But if you've got a problem, that's why it can sort of be a double-edged sword. If you see somebody's not following, somebody else is not following what you're hearing, it's because you're not hearing it. Hello? You're the one that's got the problem. Doesn't matter which side of the sword it is. That's not fair, okay? We feel it's not fair. They did this to me, and it's not reasonable, or why is it such a big deal, whatever it is. You own that, and you have to deal with that within yourself. This is where you have to deal with it, in your innermost being, and realize that it's separating you from yourself. The difference between living by the mind and the judgment of appearances and living from within. That's where all of the friction takes place, is when we try to combine those two. It's a problem. And we become hypocritical. So, do you see the world in righteousness and loving kindness? Or do you see that there needs to be change in the world? Peace programs. Peace programs. You're going to live with your judgment between those two. And it's going to create your environment. So salvation to you can only be known in this present moment of non-judgment. That's the only place it can be known. And salvation is timeless. Salvation is limitless. And the title of today's message is The Limitless Universe. So salvation is limitless, it's eternal. And it's the only place eternal life can dwell is in your own moment of timelessness. Timelessness. It can't exist anywhere else. So fear, and I said in May, fear and passing time are twins. One always has the other. With fear comes anxiousness. There's always anxiousness that's attached to time. So the passing of time creates, belief in the passing of time creates fear. You take your history, project it into the future. So, we keep talking about Abraham, and the reason we do is because he was consumed with the soil in front of his feet. And when I say that, it's really, when you're really going through a difficult time, you can't see anything. Usually your head's down. You don't notice where you're at. You're consumed with this situation. And that's why you're always looking at the dirt. You're looking what's underneath you. And you can't escape it. You can't escape that moment that you're separated from yourself. You know what I mean? It's like a cloud. It sort of surrounds you. So we talk about Abraham, and he was consumed about the soil under his feet. He was so consumed about preserving a life and expanding his future generations that he lived a life that was outside of himself. He couldn't find himself because he was looking for more. He wanted to hand his history off to his son. That's what's happened to all of us. Our families, our generations have handed off their version of what they think life is to us. And I mean, if you want to go back and, you know, blame someone, I guess you can go back to Adam, but that's not an excuse. We now are hearing the truth, and we have to deal with it now. We've got to deal with working out our salvation. Or working is the wrong word. Working out a salvation, I defined to you this morning as realizing there's nothing you can do to be who you already are. That's where the work's at. I know that sounds a little convoluted. I know you all understand what that means, right? But it's not a work. It's not like you walk an old lady across the street and you're boing, you know, should have had a V8, now you got it, right? It's not that. Also, sometimes that happens. But it's like peeling off layers of onions. And I think it's going to continue in some capacity, but Scripture calls it going from glory to glory, not from depression to depression, right? So we learn more about who we already are. And I believe it's limitless. I don't believe we're going to be bored. Now, Gary said he'd like to go up and sit on a harp or sit on a cloud and pluck a harp, but I mean, how long are you going to do that? You know?
As long as I can.
Yeah. But there's no, I mean, Walter Lanyon said that. I mean, you're not going to be doing that very long. You're going to get bored. And the point is, with this lesson is, understanding this love that is within us is never going to end. The depths of it, the amazement of it, the glory of it is never going to end. It's going to continue to expand. And so, all through Scripture it says, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Well, they all were standing on holy ground before they took their shoes off. They were, but they didn't realize it. And so taking off your shoes really represents the fleshly man coming into his own understanding. Uh-huh. And if you'll look within the context of those passages, it says it. That's what it says. That's the message. So take off your sense of misunderstanding who you are and realize before you were born, I created you holy. Before you were born. It was a call to realize that passing time holds you down and limits you. It causes you to move in a realm of judgment. So ask within yourself, within the realm of your own life, look back at last week. How many of the moments that you experienced could you praise that love within you? Could you be thankful for that love within you? But as the parable says, the cares of this world come in and choke it out, don't they? We hear the truth, we receive it in thanksgiving, and then the cares of the world surround us and come and choke out that which you already are. That's the work. It smothers, the judgment appearances smothers that eternal, timeless love. And we enter back into a realm of time and space. Right? And our friend Albert, who I love to talk about, said there's no such thing as time and space. So I want to have a little fun, and it's beautiful, but I want to have a little fun with you and talk a little bit about science, because that was one of my favorite subjects when I started university.
Science.
The sciences. So I want you to entertain an understanding and just go with me a little bit, okay? Just follow me. Just trust me just for a few minutes. That you might never have heard or understood before. And it concerns your sight. So if you go with me to a place where you had no memory to draw from, or let's say, for an example, you were in an accident and you came out of it just fine, but as a result of the accident, you were rendered unconscious, and when you woke, you absolutely had no memory of anything. But you recognized yourself, you knew your name, and you're able to talk normally. Now, from that place of no memory, you had no history. Your history was gone, wasn't it? From a place of no memory. no past to recall from. What would you see then when you looked out into the world? You couldn't judge it, could you? You could not judge it. You couldn't judge it. Isn't that amazing? It would be impossible for you to judge it. So what does that say about your history? It's history. It's history. So you would have absolutely no judgment, and your sight would be pure and without prejudice and without partiality and without hypocrisy. Because you'd have nothing to compare anything to. This is the wisdom that's from above. What would this do to your understanding of the future? You probably wouldn't even know it. Because you all of your experience of passing time had disappeared. So you wouldn't even know there was a future, would you? Because here you are in this moment with no memory. Now, our concepts of God are so screwed up, but I'm telling you, the Father of love has no memory. He has no memory. That's how he can look out into the world and see himself within a place of timelessness, within a place that's eternal, that's not constricted by the concepts of man. We invented the clock. You can go back and look in the books of Enoch. It's all written out there, where it was all established in the calendar and all that stuff. It was all developed by man. So your memory is your judgment. And love has no memory. So there's many, many passages. I did I actually did some writing on all in all and all things. And if you look up just all things in your Bible software, it like starts smoking. You know, I'm serious. All things. All things. It says it over and over. This love, the Father within you, is all and in all. And is you all. It is. It's just all. So let's go out into some science a little more. What if everything we see, the earth, the beauty, the creation, the universe, never had a beginning? Now we go into Genesis and we put so much weight on the word beginning that we see the world incorrectly. In the beginning, when the world was founded, is when man fell. And man began to create his world. It said God created the heavens and the earth, but those heavens and earth had to be created out of a realm of timelessness. Had to be. If it came out from him, it had to be him. That's why God could only create himself in you. There's nothing else there to work with. Oh, shucks. I want to help him, you know. He needs some help. A realm of timelessness without a beginning or an end. And how often have we taught that? We see the universe as it is explored by the astrologers and astronomers of today, and they tell us that the universe is ever expanding outward, and it is ever expanding limitlessly. Limitlessly is the key word here. That limitless expansion of the universe represents the love of the Father towards us in the world. Isn't that amazing? I mean, we can't even see Pluto with the naked eye without some help. And you know how small our universe is compared to what's been seen with these powerful telescopes? How small it is. That expansion is the never-ending love of God because it comes out from Him who is love. That's what it represents. It never had a beginning. And it will never have an end. Ever. I think that's beautiful myself. I like that. What we see in our own mind as a creation has a beginning. But the earth as we know it, the creation as we know it, came out from God and could have no beginning. But nothing that comes from the Father of lights has a beginning or an end, including creation. We see cycles. You see cycles as you watch it. All of these concepts that we have that continue to limit our understanding are holding us down by the judgment again of passing time. You have to go back in and realize that eternity is timeless. Now, I used to think, we're going to live forever, and so millions and millions and millions of years from now, I'm still going to be singing the doxology in front of a marble throne, Man, how long can you do that? Right? That was my concept, because, we'd sing that all the time in church, So, I really believe that Albert Einstein was probably one of the most spiritual people that I know. Yeah. I'm talking, he saw things that nobody saw. And he saw this in science. And he said, this isn't a philosophy. He said, what I'm seeing isn't a philosophy. He said it's proven through physics. He saw it in his microscope. The theory of relativity, the theory of timelessness, and the theory of an ever-expanding universe. And the theory of relativity, seeing that there was no disconnection as you go the other way. Do you know if you can divide something once, you can divide it forever? That it's also going, if you think about it, we could look like King Kong to somebody. Certainly to an ant, right? We show up and it's like, here's King Kong, Run for your lives, But there's microorganisms millions of times smaller than that. Millions. Yeah. But in our consciousness, with our feet looking at the dirt in front of us, we can't enjoy or experience any of that because we're concerned about the expansion of our own generations, right, of judgment, of the appearances. We can't even enjoy the appearances because we're judging the hell out of it all the time. And we need to judge the hell out of it and get done with it. Cut it off, Jiminy Christmas.
That's good.
Cut it off. Dang. You yourself create your own world. We play as God, a creator of a limited world, restricted by our prejudice. So your environment is either limitless love, ever expanding, or it's restricted by your judgment of time and space continuum. It's one or the other. No, I love that. I love that kind of stuff. And with our judgment, every judgment we make has time limitations. It either has urgency or fear for the future, or both of these things that have to do with our judgment, again in a time realm. Understanding that there is no such thing as passing time is key to your unlocking of who you are, because all your fears are connected to time. All your fears come from your history, and you protect them. How do you protect them? By projecting them out into the future. So we aren't even in the moment for a hair of a millionth of a second when we're in that realm, because it's this yo-yo. It's the history out into the future and back and forth. Never stopping for a moment to be still and know ourselves. Not be still and know some God out there. To be still and know yourself. And we sacrifice what? The praise of thankfulness. Gary talked about the will of God, but Thessalonians tells us what the will of God is. It's to be thankful in everything. I think it's pretty clear. I heard that when I was in the charismatic movement and following around Malcolm Smith, you know, because they were up there yapping and we were getting slain and all that stuff, you know, and I guess it felt good emotionally, you know. I laid on the carpet a couple times, but I woke up with the same thing I fell down with. You know, it helped for a little bit. At least somebody liked me, you know. They liked me long enough to touch me. So our judgment, every judgment we make, has time limitations. When we're not thankful, when we're not living in a state of contentment, you're in a realm of outer darkness. That's what outer darkness is in Scripture. It said the kingdom, the children of the kingdom, were cast into outer darkness by their own unbelief. The children of the kingdom were cast into outer darkness? Huh? The children of the kingdom. Now, there's three verses in Scripture when you do a search on that, and two of them were twisted around a little bit in the translation, but they didn't get the third one. And again, what I've found when I'm doing these things with Scripture is if there seems to be an apparent contradiction, if you expand around the context of where it's at, usually you'll find the answer. It'll be apparent that that's not really quite translated correctly. But a lot of times we don't understand the words correctly. So, being thankful. If we're not thankful, we are cast into outer darkness. We remove ourselves from this kingdom of light and love and eternal life. It's called hell. It's called destruction because it's a place where we can never be satisfied with the fact that love is unlimited satisfaction. The Father shows it in creation through even the exploration of the universe, which shows there's millions and billions of stars and planets. Millions and billions. You want to try to count them and limit that because you can count them? That's a lot. I don't think I could make it to a million, could you? I sure couldn't count a billion. I'd be getting bored again, right? Millions and billions, and they're saying it's beyond what they can see. It's ever expanding. Yet we can only see a tiny portion of dirt in front of us. And we're usually not even thankful for that. But if you could begin to see the universe as it is, we could travel beyond the speed of light. Beyond the speed of judgment, I call it. Because it's beyond the speed of time. Right? So if we go beyond the speed of time, we're beyond the speed of judgment. I think that sounds pretty cool. Now, Einstein said there's no way you could travel beyond the speed of light. But I read an article the other day of actual concept this group is building of a new starship that could travel at warp speed. I grew up loving Star Trek. Oh my gosh. I love that show. I was a young kid. I was still up to no good sometimes, but somehow my brother and I got this little black and white TV. I won't tell you how I got it, but I got it. Because I got it by being sneaky, but it was mine, but we pulled some strings because we weren't supposed to have a TV. Just showed up one day in our room. And every night, we watched Star Trek with the sound off because they're supposed to be sleeping. Right? That's how hooked my brother and I were on it. Because it was on every night a half an hour before he's supposed to go to bed. Sometimes we'd get real close to it and turn it up just a little bit. My mom would, turn that TV off! You know? And she was three rooms away and one level away. How could she hear it? Well, we didn't turn it off because we knew she wouldn't come up. She never would, did come up, you know, so we didn't turn it off. That was a beautiful show. Why was it so wonderful and beautiful? Because it caused you to go into a realm that was exciting, limitless, and always exploring. Always.
Oh, this is your life.
Is that? Oh, well. Okay. Love is always exploring new ways to share itself with others. Always. Waiting and looking for an opportunity to share with those who you really are. A limitless, timeless creature out of the very loins of this Father of Love. But we're held down in our judgment of all of it. We're held down through our own concepts of life, of the universe, ourselves, and each other. So we can't enjoy the immediate environment that surrounds us, let alone expand into that which is limitless. I mean, let's see if we can get to Mars, you know, and have a meeting. You know, that ain't very far. You know, let's just try that, you know. At least understand the concept of it anyway, right? I have no doubt that someday upon this earth those things will probably happen. I have no doubt. I would love to write on it. I know that. So, there's a passage in Ephesians that explains this, I believe, very clearly. And I've added to some of the words to expand them a little bit, but I think within the context of what I'm sharing, it's very real to me. And it says, to know the love of Christ, which passeth all understanding of time and space. All our understanding of time and space, to know the love of Christ that's limitless, passes all our understanding of time and space, that ye might be filled with all the fullness and the limitless universe of love. Limitless. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, how? According to the limitless love that worketh within us. Now, I want to go back and tell you why we misinterpret that passage right there. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think. Why are you asking or thinking about something? That's what it's saying. He says he can give you abundantly more than your puny little brains trying to scratch out on your dirt. That's what he's saying. Quit asking. That's what it's saying. He's saying, I'm going to give you more above all that you can ask or think. Not ask and think. Jesus said, quit taking thought for the things that you're worried about every day. Because I'm telling you, we're still scratching on the earth here about a lot of things. If you're going to be honest with yourself, don't tell me. I hear all the time, people, how am I going to pay the bills next week and all this stuff? Holy crap. You can't get your eyes off the dirt, and you certainly haven't taken your shoes off yet and even found that that's holy. Not yet. We got a ways to go, don't we? Huh? We got a ways to go. But it's exciting. You know, I'm hoping we can get on a spaceship and hit warp drive and have a meeting. You know? Yeah, if I go out, I want to go out on a firecracker. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly. Who's the him? Yeah, there you go. How are you going to see him if you're barking all the time? How are you going to see yourself within yourself and be satisfied with yourself if you're barking about the dirt? How can you? And he says, I'm going to give you exceedingly abundantly above all your whining and crying and carrying on. So if you don't quit whining and crying and carrying on, you're never going to see it. I got enough dirt here. Got 10 acres of dirt, another 4 there, 2 across there, some water. That's enough dirt for me. I don't enjoy it like I should. I don't. Because I'm busy, right? Scratching out a living by the sweat of my brow. And I'm sure I'll still go back and scratch some more. I'm sure of it. But I'm beginning to learn the difference. Beginning to learn to appreciate this peace we talked about this morning that's going before me. And straightening out that crooked path that I'm seeing, beginning to straighten it out so that I can begin to exceed this life that's more abundant. Abundant life. He didn't say an abundant material life. He said an abundant life. And until you come to a place where you don't need anything, you can't be trusted with anything. You can't be. You can't. I've counseled a lot of people who went through divorces and back when we had a counseling ministry. And I said, well, it's not safe for you to find someone else yet because you can't be satisfied with yourself, so you're just going to suck the life out of them. That's what people do. So we just go around sucking the life out of each other. That's why it doesn't work. It's like why you always want the grass on the other side of the fence. So people aren't happy when they're with each other. People aren't happy when they're not with each other. I mean, whew. Okay? The window's open, folks, to us. Gary talked about the window opening. And the vacuum has begun. And that vacuum of love, limitless universe, will never end. We'll never have an end. It'll be up beyond our concept of millions of years, trillions of years, beyond it. I think people have seen glimpses of it. I think you shared it a little bit with what you saw, our restriction of our limited consciousness holds us down, and we have to begin to leave our world now, leave your world, and begin to put a guard over our tongue to then listen to our innermost being where life dwells. When that begins to happen, you will have joy and peace, and you'll be able to express loving kindness without conditions. That's where life, that's just where it begins, folks. That's just the beginning. That's what's so wonderful about it. It's just the beginning. So, thank you all for being with us. Is everybody coming tomorrow? Okay. So those of you that won't be coming tomorrow, we're glad you're here. Glad you're with us. And it's been wonderful. As I've shared with you, it's changed me. Yeah, it's changed me. A lot of what I'm sharing has been very new to me, and I hope that you've heard it in a way that's helped you. That's what I want to do. That's what this is all about. We want to encourage each other in the love that's limitless, and I hope those of you that are going, we get to see you again, and you're free to go now. We'll see you. We won't be doing any more broadcasts, unfortunately, because we can't get a strong enough signal at the lake. This takes quite a bit of bandwidth to send video out over the internet, but we will have them online for everybody, so Kay's message will be available for you by the end of, I don't know, when will it be available?
I'll probably try to have it ready for you before I leave.
Okay. Dave and Linda have done all this for us. Elaine?
Elaine.
Sorry, Elaine, I know your name.
Dave and Elaine.
David and Elaine Luber, come to with us, and they produce these for us. And I like they've got different positions and stuff to do it, so we'll be out at the lake, right? Doing it out there. And we'll get them online as soon as we can. So, okay, thank you.